Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to God's house this evening for the sixth of our midweek Lenten services. Boy, the time is flying, isn't it? And already we're a Holy Week is upon us this coming week, Palm Sunday, and then the following Sunday, the Paschal Feast and the celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Our theme has been a Lent to remember. We're looking at that word remember, how it's used in Scripture. Oftentimes it is God who does the remembering when he remembers his covenant and so forth. But tonight, I think the words of the Old Testament reading from Lamentations sum up the gist of our worship tonight. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so love is the operative word tonight. And we marvel together in word and in our hymns at this love of God that is otherwise unknown to us and is beyond all description and explanation. No words can adequately describe the love he has for us. So let's rejoice in that love tonight as we gather here and worship. And we start with our first hymn, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain.
Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Hear the pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all. In a full perpetual tide, open when our Savior died. Come in poverty and meanness, come defiled without within. From infection and uncleanness, from the leprosy of sin, wash your robes and make them white. Ye shall walk with God in light. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. Hear the guilty free remission. Hear the troubled peace may find. Health this fountain will restore. They that drink shall thirst no more. They that drink shall live forever. 'Tis the soul renewing flood. God is faithful, God will never break his covenant of blood. Signed when our Redeemer died, sealed when he was glorified.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. Let us pray. Almighty God, it was your will that your Son should bear the pains of the cross for us, so that the adversary can have no power over us. Help us daily to remember our Lord's passion and to rejoice in the remission of our sins and our redemption from everlasting death. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our psalm verses this evening are from the 26th psalm. Your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I will walk in your faithfulness. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hand are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Samuel Crossman, a clergyman who once served as the chaplain to the King of England, penned the hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, in the 1660s, setting forth the story of salvation very simply and directly. As we sing his words about the passion of our Lord, we realize that Crossman's song from nearly 400 years ago is just as much our song. Indeed, the purpose of this hymn is not simply to retell the events of our Lord's passion, but from its title and its first line, we find that this is an ode to love such as we have never known before. This is a love song, sung to the Savior who loves even the loveless, that they might lovely be. Lovely, that is, in the sight of God. Having been restored in Christ to the fullness of their humanity and having been sanctified by the washing of water and the Word. At one point in this hymn, you will notice, Crossman freely inserts his own perspective, and in doing so, he invites us to join him with those words, but, oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. This thought culminates in the fifth stanza, which paints for us the ultimate paradox, that the King, the Lord, and the Prince of Life becomes a powerless victim in death, again, so that we might lovely be. Many tunes that are used for the great hymns of the church are compositions that took an extended period of time to complete. The tune Love Unknown, however, was written in the early 20th century by the composer John Ireland in 15 minutes on a scrap of paper, specifically for the words of Samuel Crossman from the 17th century. It was truly a moment of musical inspiration. The hymn was first included in an English hymn book in 1919, this combination of text and tune, and it is that combination is credited with bringing this poem and this hymn out of obscurity, which it had fallen into during the Victorian era, and now has since become the favorite hymn of millions of Christians worldwide. Please take special note of the haunting tones of the fifth line of each stanza, at which point we sing such words as, "Oh, who am I?" and sweet injuries, and this is my friend. A tune and text that highlight for us the glorious reality of Jesus' work for us on the cross. As we prepare to sing, let us pray. Gracious Savior, we lift our hearts to you, overflowing with gratitude for the boundless love you have poured out upon us by your innocent suffering and death. Your love is of a kind and of a magnitude that we have never before known, washing away our sins and creating us anew and making us lovely in God's sight. We are humbled by your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. May we live in ways that reflect your love, spreading kindness and compassion and understanding to all we meet, and help us to be the vessels of your love, reflecting your light in this world. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Let's join then to sing, My Song is Love Unknown.
My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but men made strange and none the longed for Christ. Displease and against him rise. They rise and needs will have my dear Lord made away. A murderer, they save the Prince of Life. Suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free. In life no house, no home, my Lord on earth might have. In death no friendly tomb, what a stranger gave. What may I say? stay and sing. No story so divine, never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet
our first reading is from the Book of Lamentations in the third chapter. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your steadfast love is shown to us in many ways. Teach us to be assured that your steadfast love never ceases, and to wait in quiet expectation for your salvation. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.
Amen.
Our second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the second chapter. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Save your divine now.
Let us then rise together for the verse and the gospel reading. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Hear now the reading of the gospel from St. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Like the hymn, "My Song is Love Unknown," our next hymn also has us marveling at the love of God as we ask the question, what kind of love is this that Jesus would die for me? Please be seated then as we join to sing our next hymn, "When I Behold Jesus Christ."
When I behold Jesus Christ, true God who died for me, I wonder much at his love as he hung on the tree. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You showed your love, Jesus, there to me on Calvary. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You showed your love, Jesus, there to me on Calvary. For me you gave all your love, for me you suffered pain. I find no words, nothing can your selflessness explain. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You show What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You showed your love, Jesus, there to me on Calvary. You had no sin.
Love is this, that Jesus would give himself at Calvary for us. We marvel tonight at the love of God as we consider the words of Psalm 98, the third verse. This was read a little bit earlier in our service responsively. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the ways we remember things is simply to repeat them over and over and over again. I still remember my locker combination from junior high school. Coming out of sixth grade into the seventh grade at Southeast Junior High in Iowa City, Iowa, I had this horrible vision of my first day as a seventh grader going to school, first time I've ever had a locker to deal with, and standing there in the hallway and twisting that little dial around and not being able to get in my locker, and everybody's going to be around laughing at me, and I'll be the laughing stock of the school. Great way to start off seventh grade. So days before, we had some kind of an orientation, and then we got our locker combinations, and days before, I was just reciting that combination over and over and over again, 5-11-33, 5-11-33, 5-11-33, and now I can't forget it. It's just funny how we remember those little things in life, isn't it? When I worked at a Dairy Queen, we would make this... We would make these little slushies, you know, with the little syrup, the flavored syrup you put in, and customers would ask, what flavors do you have? And I went through this so many times, and I still do it. You know, we have grape, orange, lemon, lime, raspberry, cherry, root beer, suicide, and citrus. And those things really just stick with you, those things that you've repeated over and over and over again. I hope we're all just as good as remembering the catechism. I remember when I was learning the catechism, I would do the same thing. I would just repeat it over and over and over again until I felt confident about it. And I felt a lot of extra pressure because my pastor happened to also to be my dad. And so I really had to perform. And you probably use that method too a number of times in your life. In Psalm 136, God seems to have his people doing very much the same thing. Psalm 136 has 26 verses, and the first half of each verse is this little statement about something God has done. You know, he created the heavens and the water and the stars, and then he saved his people out of Egypt, and he parted the waters of the Red Sea, and he struck down kings, and he gave Israel the promised land as its inheritance. But then the second half of each of those 26 verses is exactly the same. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. In case you didn't catch it, we're going to say it another 23 times. His steadfast love endures forever. And over the people would repeat this phrase until they couldn't forget it, even if they wanted to. So this steadfast love of God must be pretty important for us to remember, which explains perhaps why the Hebrew word for steadfast love, chesed, shows up 248 times in the Old Testament. It is a word that is packed with meaning. It can be translated steadfast love, as in Psalm 136, and as in our text for tonight, he remembered his chesed, he remembered his steadfast love. But it is also translated in English Bibles as mercy, loving kindness, goodness. And there is so much meaning packed into that little word that we cannot find just one English word to express the full breadth of the meaning of that word, which I suppose is entirely appropriate because there's no way for us to express the full breadth of God's love either. And so we do the best we can. And we translate that word steadfast love. Steadfast love. God remembers his steadfast love so that the ends of the earth may see his salvation. And since there are so many English words that can be used to translate that one Hebrew word, some of our English Bibles reserve the translation steadfast love to describe God's love and his love alone, which I guess makes sense because only God's love truly is steadfast. And then these English Bibles will use other translations of that word when it refers to our love, like when our chesed for God, our love for God, or our love for one another. And I think that's a really smart translation decision. Because, let's face it, as those who have been infected by sin, steadfast love is not exactly our strong suit. Our brand of love is very often fickle, and it's wavering, it's unreliable, or think of any other antonym of steadfast. And then Proverbs just comes right out and says it. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his chesed, many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but who can find a faithful man? Suggesting, of course, that steadfast love is very hard to come by in the human family. And then Isaiah 40, verse 6 says, all flesh is grass, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. And in that verse, the word beauty is that same Hebrew word, chesed, which is sometimes translated steadfast love, suggesting that love in this world is about as steadfast as a flower that sprouts up quickly and then just as quickly fades and wilts away. But that's how love is among us. As a human family, we have forgotten God's steadfast love, and we have lost sight of His salvation. And so we do not have those things to draw strength from for our love for each other. And then we hurt each other, and we fail each other, forgetting the steadfast love of God. The love of spouses grows cold despite the pledge they have made, and they flee into the arms of another. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, the love of church members sometimes grows cold because someone said something or someone took a different position at a voters' meeting and the conversation got a little intense, and now all of a sudden the bonds of Christian fellowship have been broken. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, children will sometimes grow cold toward in their love to their parents, and they will rebel and take the prodigal's path just to stick it to their parents. Forgetting the steadfast love of God, the love of friends often grows cold when politics or money or jealousy pulls them apart. We have a hard time with steadfast love. And that failure of love is the bitter taste of sin in our world and in our lives, because at its essence, sin is the failure of love. It's the failure of love in our families and in our communities, and sometimes, yes, even in our church. Now, thank God that once in a while in this world we do see some examples of steadfast love, or something that at least approximates steadfast love. And this kind of love really inspires us and lifts us up, like the couple who's been married for 65 years, and now she is taking care of him in his decline. That is steadfast love, or it's about as close to steadfast love as you're going to get, a love that refuses to give up on the other person. The Bible story I think about when I think about steadfast love between humans is the love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Remember that? A love that Ruth expressed in these famous words. She said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. And God, deal with me ever so severely if anything but death should ever separate you from me." That is steadfast love. That's as close as it gets to God's love, isn't it, in this world? It's the kind of love that just lifts the heart and inspires us. And yet, towering above all of that, towering above the best of love that we have between us, is a love that is in a category all its own. And that's the steadfast love of God that is expressed in the gift of His one and only Son. God remembered His steadfast love, and so He gave His only Son so that the ends of the earth may see His salvation. In the Gospel of John, in the passion narrative of our Lord, all the things that happened to Jesus, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, it all begins with these words. John 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. I don't know, but I think that is the very definition, the very epitome of steadfast love, that Jesus loved us to the end. Through all of the indignity and the betrayal, Through all of the brutality and the injustice and the spitting and the hitting and the mocking and the suffering and the dying, when he could have stopped it, he loved us to the end. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine that? A love that lays down its life for its enemies and prays on top of it that they would be forgiven. That is steadfast love in a category that is all its own. And the New Testament word that comes closest, I think, to this idea of steadfast love is the Greek word charis, or grace in English. Another word that is just packed full of meaning. Grace is undeserved love. Grace is love that forgives in response to hurt. Grace is love that prays for enemies and returns good for evil. That's God's love. That is grace. It is a love that endures forever. It is a love that loves us to the end. And by this grace, we are called to faith in Christ. And we have come to believe that and trust in him for our salvation. We read it tonight. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God. God remembered his steadfast love. And by his grace, the earth now sees his salvation to the ends of the earth. Those words, the ends of the earth, that's a long ways away, right? And that includes a lot of people, so many people we can't even begin to count them, like that throng around the throne in Revelation that can't be numbered. But don't overlook the fact that those words to the ends of the earth include such a vast number of people, that it also embraces and includes you. When God remembered his steadfast love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, he sent his son. And that love took in you too. It took you in to the bitter end. And by this gospel, he wants all the ends of the world to see his salvation. And this is where we come in. As those who have been loved and those who have received the benefits of his love. It's like we read tonight in that gospel reading, as the good shepherd says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them in too, and they will hear my voice. But how will they hear his voice? Well, that's you. That's what Jesus said. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we have to reflect a little bit, and we have to ask ourselves, are we being his good witnesses? Are we remembering God's steadfast love, not just up here, but by actually showing and demonstrating steadfast love toward God and toward each other? You know, tonight we spent a fair amount of time talking about the way the Bible uses words and how those words are translated into our language and how some words are hard to translate with just one English word. But having said that, we know what steadfast love looks like. We know steadfast love when we see it. We see it in Christ. We see it in his suffering and death. We see steadfast love in his cross. And we see it here in the church, or we ought to, where the Spirit has called us together. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we have to reflect. You know, do we see this, or if people were to come here among us, or if they were to come into our homes and families, would they see the steadfast love of God among us and through us? Do they see us forgiving each other, even as God in Christ has forgiven us? Would they see us serving each other, even as Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give himself for others? Would they see us helping each other, even as God has so mightily helped us? Would they see us encouraging each other, even as the Spirit encourages us and nurtures us in our Christian faith? Of all the places on earth, this place of God and your home ought to be those places where people look and say, look at them. That is what steadfast love must look like. I pray that that would be said of me. I hope you pray that would be said of you, that it would be said of us as the Church of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, having heard this word, we join our voices to sing the two stanzas of the theme hymn, Called to Remember.
Called to remember in this Lenten time, how for all sin our blessed Savior died, in dust and ashes voices joined in prayer, we turn to Christ and seek forgiveness there. Call to remember, God's love never ends, granting us blessings, naming us as friends.
Then for the versicles and prayer. Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Lord, keep this nation under your care and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Gracious God, we are humbled and awestruck by the steadfast love that you have poured out upon us, a love that finds its ultimate expression in the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us to the end. We give thanks for the unwavering nature of your love, and we pray that by your Spirit, we, your church, would reflect the steadfastness of your love with unwavering love for you and for each other. Guide and strengthen us that we might grow in our understanding and appreciation of your love. And help us always to remember that your love is life's greatest gift, a treasure to be cherished, and a source of strength for us in all things. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, hear us now as we pray together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you, defend you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
Amen.
Go in peace as you serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I serve that were
my soul.